Welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast from ExchangeWire, bringing you the latest news and views from the world of ad tech, media, and marketing.
Hello, and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast, coming to you from our newly revamped studio. I'm Grainne Reid, Head of Marketing at ExchangeWire, and I am delighted to be joined by Kieran O'Kane, co-founder and advisor at ExchangeWire. Kieran, thanks for joining
us. Thanks for inviting me on, G. I never get onto these things anymore, so
yeah,
it's
I know. Thanks for stepping in.
I'll behave myself today, don't worry.
Alongside Kieran, we have got John Steele, Head of Content at ExchangeWire. John, great to have you as always.
Always happy to be here, particularly in our lovely new surroundings.
Yeah.
I love it. It's got an on-air sign and everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, as always, we're going to be diving into three major news stories making headlines this week. The Federal Trade Commission locks in Omnicom IPG deal with stricter ad rules. OpenAI is hiring for ad tech growth, while Sora adds opt-out rule for copyright holders. And Spotify rolls out new AI policies to protect artists, songwriters and producers. So first up, the Federal Trade Commission has approved a revised final consent order for Omnicom's $13.5 billion acquisition of Interpublic Group. The FTC conditionally cleared the deal back in June on the condition that it wouldn't deny ad dollars to publishers based on political or ideological views unless directed to by a client. Following a mandatory public comment period, these conditions have now been locked in, adding a compliance monitor to ensure the restrictions apply only within the US. The European Union is still reviewing the deal. Kieran, do you think it's necessary for the FTC to include these conditions in its approval for the acquisition?
I don't think so. Probably because the environment has changed around advertising on these brand unsafe sites and content providers. So I don't think it's really necessary. I mean, it feels like a sort of overreach. I mean, the FTC has been involved in some sort of weird sort of activity the last couple of months. The Jimmy Kimmel fiasco was a good example of that. So I think just basically the FTC seemed to be flexing muscles for their dear leader, Donald. I generally don't think that, because I think the environment, I always thought it was a bit weird that brands were kind of instructed to not advertise against sort of ideologically unsafe sites. Anyway, that should be their decision at the end of the day. It shouldn't be the industry's decision, or it shouldn't be the decision of the agency. It should actually be the brand decides whether or not it's brand unsafe. Like, at the end of the day, in America, you got 50-50, right? 50% Democrat, 50% are Republicans, and the Republicans are on Fox News and all sorts of other weird, wonderful political sites. So I always find it really weird. The whole Elon thing was hilarious, where he sued them, the industry body, I can't remember the name of it.
GAM,
yeah. I think it's a little bit unnecessary, but good for the FTC and Mr. Carr.
John, are you of the same opinion that it's an overreach?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we can call this one Elon's rule, after he tried to sue people for not advertising on his platform. It's, it's a ring-kissing exercise. And it's an overreach in terms of what they should be able to implement on a merger. Like, there's the proviso been put in now that brands can choose. Like, it's like you can't tell them where to place their advert, but if they don't want to advertise on a platform, you can't force them to. So it's just on the client to say, I don't want to be on X platform, literally X, or whichever one that they want to be on. It's an overreach and it's an overstep for window dressing, as far as I'm concerned. Like, there's no weight in that anymore. But they are, yeah, they have to be visible and overseeing these things, I suppose. But I don't see any need for it to have ever been brought in. And now the client proviso is a catch-all, a get-out for everyone.
How do you think these restrictions might influence future mergers in the advertising sector?
I don't know, really. I think people look at it and wonder, like the questions we've asked, basically, like, can the FTC do this? Is this an overstep? Is this an overreach in terms of how M&A looks and how major companies can come together? I'm not sure it'll be much of a deterrent towards business being done. I'd hope not. Not sure.
Kieran, what are your thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like, it seems a lot of the high profile M&A deals are media related, and the FTC must have a say over that. So the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing was happened because I think there's deals looking to happen between TV, legacy TV companies, as Sinclair and the other one, I can't remember, there are two carriers of this ABC program. And the TV landscape in the US is weird and wonderful as well. So yeah, you kind of have to genuflect at the altar, if you will, to get some of these deals done. So hopefully not too much genuflect. I don't know how many other deals that the FTC has sort of purview over, but yeah, it could affect future transactions in the media space for sure.
And do you think the merger is likely to happen and be approved by the European regulators?
I don't see a problem with this merger.
Okay.
There's stats out showing that the holdcos are losing loads of clients to indies and in-housing. So I don't really see it as a huge problem. If two holdcos want to consolidate, fine. I don't think that makes a massive difference over the ecosystem.
John, do you see any issues with the European regulators?
No, not for me. Like Ciarán said, it's two major holdcos. They are fighting an interesting battle at the moment in the industry, holdcos, and they are trying to cling on to their power and influence. So two of them coming together doesn't really surprise me. But also, saw it with the music industry from the 80s onwards. We went from six majors to five majors to four to three major labels. It just happens. It's business. So I don't imagine the EU will have much cause to stop it. I don't think there's kind of a monopoly case there or anything like that. It just seems it's just big business being done.
Mm. Okay, well, let's move on then from the industry mergers, and we're going to be discussing an open AI story. So a recent job listing from OpenAI shows that the company is hiring a growth-paid marketing platform engineer to join their newly reformed ChatGPT growth team. The role will involve developing internal tools for ad platform integration, campaign management, and real-time attribution. Elsewhere, OpenAI announces that video tool Sora will require copyright holders to opt out of having their property used for AI generation. Ciarán, the future is looking bright for OpenAI, but will it be the next? Well, that's the question. Will it be the next global marketing powerhouse?
I mean, it's priced in to be the global marketing powerhouse you talk about. I mean, the price of that company is insane. So the market's probably priced in that they will have a huge ad business. There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen. I mean, OpenAI is some interesting sort of like stats around what people are using OpenAI versus the likes of Claude. Claude seems to be more of a B2B platform that's used by developers and sort of B2B companies to sort of build AI capabilities internally. Whereas OpenAI and ChatGPT is used by people around this table probably for like, give me a recipe for an angry three-year-old or what's the best places to go in New York? You know, give me a list of five. Or just using it as a summary tool, it's more of a Q&A search entity. And that suggests that there is a huge ad business there obviously their user base is massive, OpenAI. So I'm surprised it's taken this long to switch on ads. And I think it will be an absolutely massive business for them. Like, if you think about the sketch that I did for ATS London that Rachel presented on stage at during her intro, the idea of the lower funnel sort of goes away, right? So you look at the marketing funnel shrinks and everybody's going straight to the prompt. You go to the prompt, that then gives you an environment to show ads, right? So, OpenAI and ChatGPT is in a really strong position to build a very big ad business because traditional search is going to start to sort of dissipate. It takes a long time to break habits, but once that OpenAI ChatGPT ad business is up and running, you will see just a huge, pressure of money heading that direction. And they're getting ahead of it. They're hiring that's a pretty big role, and I'm sure they're going to hire many, many positions and are going to bring some really high-end, high-profile individuals in to run that business. I mean, they'll start nicking from Meta and they'll start nicking from Google. They'll start nicking from good people across the industry. So, yeah, that is the secret power, I think, of OpenAI and ChatGPT. And it will be a big business.
So is the future looking bright for them?
I don't know, because they're doing all these mad, like, Sam Altman is the one of the greatest bullshitters in the history of tech, right? He is an absolute genius about spinning nonsense in the market. Like, some of these investments from Oracle and Nvidia seem to be the money pass from Peter DePaul. It's just, there's no money actually landing. So there's a lot of, like, a lot of nonsense. But the ad business could be the killer. Although there's people out there who would argue against that, saying that, like, there's just not enough surface area for it to have huge revenue. But then if you've got 500 million people who are doing an unbelievable amount of things, they can have a freemium product and they can have a paid product. And the freemium is obviously advertising, right? And the amount of data, real-time intent data that they're collecting that they could use to sow ads would be huge. And obviously with the e-commerce piece, they've got the perfect attribution, right? So click that. Last click attribution, if you will. We just replace Google with OpenAI. And I think the future is bright for them on the ad business, for sure.
John, what opportunities can we expect for advertisers from this?
I think Kieran's just covered it off, really. Like, the opportunities are huge. I think ChatGPT and OpenAI going in the advertising business has probably been the worst kept secret in the industry. This has been coming for months and everyone knows it. And it's the most natural step, of course. They have all this intent. They, you know, people are asking them questions from basic stuff. Like you said, Kieran, like, give me a recipe for a three-year-old. Tell me how to air fry a chicken breast. And the next thing, you can buy an air fryer in ChatGPT, of course. Like, there's advertising intent is, you know, it's going to be a wicked tool for them. And there'll be lots of opportunities for advertisers to get involved in that. It's like the next phase of commerce media is being involved in these, in the AI, AI search engines, in the LLMs. And it'll be fascinating because I think the uptake will be fast. And I think there'll be a lot of money plowed into OpenAI.
Where does that come from, though? I mean, like, you imagine it will come from paid search, right? Like, you have to think that's going to happen. It's funny, Mark Zuckerberg is like, give me your credit card, and I can do everything from creative branding all the way down. He's full of shit, right? The reality is that you do need to create the want and the desire in an individual to actually go to a prompt and sort of look for that specific product. And I think the mid to upper funnel, digital out of home, CTV, retail media, email ads, display ads, even though it's on decline, so if you believe Google's gaslighting in court, that will become even more important, I think, from a marketing point of view. So actually we're in a good position as an industry to take advantage of that. And that lower funnel then just becomes an absolute scrap, right? Like, where does that money come from? Like, so I think brands will want to do more brand building, but they'll also want to be in that search piece, and they'll probably pay for it.
And then just on the Sora's part of the story, do we think that their opt-out policy will set a precedent for other AI platforms handling copyright content?
Sure, it will. And I hate it deeply. It's like, it's backwards. Having to tell them that you do not want them to steal your intellectual property is a complete reverse of how anything should work. You know, it's like, I know, I could have been punching people all day. They didn't tell me not to. It's daft. And it's how Sam Altman, you know, you said he's chief of bullshit, and it's how he sees, it's his view on the world. Like he said that if you do not let me have your intellectual property for free, it will stall progress. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, progress at what cost here? People are, and already in Sora, like, there's Disney animations that are being created. There's Ghibli animations that are being created. It is stealing other people's intellectual property. And, you know, from the positive of OpenAI and the advertising, the possibilities, the utilization, all the user groups, great. But not forgetting that the LLM model is built on the vacuuming of information and spinning it out, and it's people's intellectual property. And I fear that we are already maybe too late for guardrails on this stuff.
Kieran?
I think that's going to be an absolute failure, that platform. I think just sue them out of, like, just basically have lawsuits everywhere. There's a reason YouTube got bought by Google, because YouTube couldn't afford the legal costs anymore of defending themselves against all the media companies. I just think that there is a bit of an overreach from OpenAI. I do think they're trying to do too many things at once. To build like a platform, a video platform, is very difficult. So you can't, you know, I mean, obviously Meta did it, I suppose, from a standing start, but they already had a very successful social media platform. And I suppose he's thinking, oh, well, I can just use the 500 million to build this AI platform. But I don't know. I think this shitification of platforms is going to become a real thing, right? You know, just derivative AI nonsense of other people's work will just become boring, right? It will just become a boring thing. We'll use this create stuff. Maybe that's the next thing. But I just feel that, you know, I keep referencing AI as toasters. You know, this is a Battlestar Galactica sci-fi reference, by the way. In the series, they call them toasters, right? So that's why I said toaster-produced content, TPC. I think people will start getting... I think people will start going, this is just derivative shit, right? It's a bit like listening to Coldplay every day, right? You know what I mean? It's like, it's all their albums sound like the first album. So eventually your brain rots and you become very boring, or you become a CEO and have an affair with your associate, like, and get caught live on TV or a big screen. So this is what happens when you listen to Coldplay. Just do bad things. So yeah, I think if I was a media company, I would be getting a team to opt out everything, and I would be suing them for any misuse of content, IP, basically. What can you do? The man has no scruples, man. He just doesn't give a shit. Like, this is a megalomaniac sort of thing. Like, it's my content. It's not. It's pure theft. You didn't create it. And all you're doing is repurposing it for your own financial gain. So I think, you know, we need to, if you're in that position, sue baby sue.
Yep.
Great. Well, let's move on to a story that is discussing the platform where you'll listen to your Coldplay music, Spotify.
Never.
Spotify has introduced platform updates and policy changes which aim to protect artists, songwriters and producers from the misuse of AI. One of the measures is stricter enforcement against impersonalization, particularly through the use of AI-generated vocal deepfakes. Following the updates to its rules, vocal impersonation will only be permitted if the artist being mimicked has given explicit authorization. Spotify is also introducing AI disclosures and music credits, which will also allow artists and rights holders to specify how AI contributed to a track. Spotify said the move aims to increase transparency without penalizing artists who use AI responsibly. John, do you think these measures are enough to protect artists, songwriters and producers?
Probably not enough. But it's like, it's actually slightly encouraging to hear that. I've got, you know, the industry has an awful lot of issues with Spotify and the amount it pays per track. I mean, it's impossible for musicians to make a living off it. It is so poor, the remuneration for them. But the AI is like a massive challenge for that. And Spotify, they've taken down 75 million songs in the last week from the platform, which is a huge amount. They've done a proper kind of a proper cut and burn of the AI crap that was on there. And it is, yeah, for all, Spotify has many, many issues. This is encouraging for at least kind of keeping the platform of a certain quality and not just filling it, because it could, like, it has and it will continue to fill up with slop. But it's good to know that they're putting the guardrails there to have it removed.
I feel we actually probably discussed a story like this a couple of months ago in the podcast, and we said it would take a very long time. So I think it's probably happened a little bit sooner than we initially thought.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they've had issues. Spotify have had issues with their kind of business model. Daniel Ek just announced he's leaving, being replaced by two new CEOs in the company. So there's big changes. But yeah, I'm all for the removal of AI slop. I appreciate as well that they are, you know, people who use AI responsibly for useful things it's an interesting one to try and determine, but it's good that they are seeing that that is a possibility while getting rid of kind of unadulterated AI crap. So yeah, fair play, Spotify.
I just don't think it makes any difference. I mean, how many bands have done shit albums? Like, you know, ultimately, I think what's going to happen here is live music is where artists really make money, right? Touring, all the rest of it. And as John said, the music has become a commodity. It's been commoditized anyway by the likes of Spotify. So I'm not, how much more commoditization will happen? Probably a lot, because AI is just going to mimic it. I'm not even sure how these people make money. I mean, they'll make money off, if you mimic somebody else's sound, maybe it takes fans away. But ultimately, how do you make money for it? You have to go out and tour this music, right? And then, you know, that's where litigation starts. So it is a good move in that sense. But I do think there's going to be a broader pushback against this stuff. I really do. I think the tech bros have not sort of they've manipulated our monkey brains for many years by building algorithms. And I think the AI stuff is just an overreach, just jumping the shark. And I think people are going to go back to like real authenticity, because they'll just see all this derivative crap. It's like LinkedIn, for instance, right? How many answers have been, like how many posts have been built by Gen AI? They're so formulaic. It's like there's no independent thought. Eventually people just go, what's the point? Like, this is like, you know, this is just bullshit, like, you know. And I could see that happening to people on other platforms. It just becomes a habit that they will die, and it becomes, people will start gravitating towards authenticity, right? That's why I think I'm not as down on, you know, the shrinking open web, because the shrinking open web means that quality will up. People will still go to the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times and the Guardian and the Telegraph and whatever newspaper that tickles your political fancy. I've probably got away from myself here, but I think that there's a broader discussion or the broader theme here, right? You can't stop this stuff. It's happening, right? Like, if it's not on Spotify, it'll be all over YouTube, or it'll be all over TikTok, or it'll be all over some other platform, like fucking, what do you call them? Altman's thing. What's the...
the new AI slot feed.
What's this new slot feed called?
And OpenAI creating.
What's the name of it? Rosa, what's the name of it?
Sora.
Oh, I got it mixed up. Sora. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, look, in-person authenticity will win out eventually. There will be a cycle around this stuff, excitement, adoption, and then I think people will eventually get bored of it, like a kid with a new toy, basically.
I guess the whole point is that it's disclosed that it's AI generated.
That's the thing we need to think. I think there's a market there for ad tech or tech to build AI labels across specific content. Particularly for brands, I think, because there's legal issues around this, right? What happens if you start using sort of tracks that are in breach of copyright without them knowing? You could be subsequently sued by an artist, and then the brand is implicated in that. So there are like legal issues around this stuff. And I agree with you, labeling will have to become a thing, or people will build plugins for AI for LinkedIn. I want someone to have a plugin going AI post, and delete the posts in real time. Now, I'd actually pay for that, because my feed would become cleaner. Yeah. And you realise there's only two people actually talk about anything.
do you think then lawmakers should be moving to introduce legislation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, they probably should have started. I mean, I think the labelling is really, really important. It's good to be upfront. I mean, as far as honesty goes, we have an AI podcast we release every day that's created through our own words, but through an AI generation system. But we're honest about it. It's labelled as such. It's obviously as such. It's the stuff like that band Velvet Sundown that appeared on Spotify, who are completely AI generated and had an album that got millions of listens. It's that Wimbledon influencer Mia Zello, who people thought was real, and she was in all these pictures and she was a total AI generation, and she had two knees on each leg. And
was it any good, the album Velvet?
I wouldn't touch it.
Why not? But I'm open to listening to this stuff. I mean, like, people listen to Coldplay, right? So, you know, why would this Velvet band not be any better? Like, I know, no offense, like, I'm just saying, I think this is the way things are going to go. Like, if you listen to the music we made in a minute, it's all generic crap. Like, you know, we're not talking about like the Stone Roses or Happy Mondays. It just doesn't any of those bands left anymore, because they're not making music.
We're getting Kieran onto a musical debate. Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, like, you know, if you're going to go down this route, like, most music becomes so derivative that there's no originality anymore. When's the last great band?
You're showing your age, man.
But I know probably just someone's had this conversation a generation ago, but genuinely speaking, like, if you think about it, there's no bands left anymore, right? Where are they? Where's the great bands like Nirvana and Oasis and Blur and, you know, the Stone Roses? It just isn't anymore.
New Deftones record.
Deftones are good. The Idols are great as well. But, like, that's an exception. Those guys are outside of the general sort of, like, you know, music industry. Like, so.
Yeah, true. But yeah, it's like you were talking, I mean, even down to the authenticity and the live music, like what it's doing to the industry, because I spent 3 hours in a queue to get Radiohead tickets and didn't get them. And I want to go and see Radiohead live. And it's like, it's making that a more expensive luxury experience, going and seeing your favorite band live. You can listen to all the AI crap you want, but if you want that authentic experience, it's like, yeah, pay through the nose for it now. It's altered the dynamics of the industry for sure.
I'm sure there's plenty of good bands that are way better than Radiohead playing in some dusty underground club somewhere.
Definitely.
I hope the kids push back against this. I'm getting sick of it now.
They'll all discover punk music and go to their
local
clubs.
I really hope so. Hey, I'm worried about the future of humanity. Hey, this is what we're going to be end up like.
Yeah.
Oh, well, leaving it there on a positive note as we all go off to listen to End of Humanity, and we're going to go try listen to Velvet's album over lunch. But yeah, thank you both for joining me today, and thank you all for listening. That's it from the Mad Tech Podcast this week, and tune in next week.
You've been listening to the Mad Tech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire.